We are now ready to continue our session, and we now have election of the director of the laboratory of BLTP, and we have the chair lady of the election committee, Professor Maggiora, who will now take the floor on that subject. Yes? Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So I will... I was nominated chairman of the election committee, and in this role I will ask to the candidate present a short curriculum vitae to the people before the voting.
I understand that the committee has found both candidates eligible to stand for election.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The committee they look and they are all allowed to be candidate for this position.
Okay, so they are both legitimate candidates, and
yes,
there's no obstacles to them standing for election.
Yes.
Okay. And now, as you said, we'll now have a presentation. I understand that our committee has accepted these recommendations of the committee. Is that correct? I see no vote against. Any comments or any queries to that? No. So thank you for the committee is thanked for the work they did. And now I think, as you said, we will have a presentation by Michal Knatic, right? To start
mm-hmm.
with.
Yeah. Two candidates.
Okay. So Michal Knatic is requested to. And these should be no longer than 10 minutes, so please be brief. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Dear Viktor Anatolievich, dear chairman and members of scientific council, dear colleagues, dear guests, allow me to say a few words about the present status and perspectives for Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics, and to express my view, my opinion of tasks and objectives of next director and directorate of the laboratory. Last year in May, the Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics celebrated its 66th anniversary. The founders of the laboratory, its first director, Nikolai Nikolaevich Bogolyubov, and the first director of the institute, Dmitry Ivanovich Blokhintsev, laid a strong foundation for the stable development of the laboratory for the future. BLTP employed many outstanding physicists who developed and created whole new directions in various branches of physics and scientific schools, many of which exist until today. In the time span of 60 years, they, along with their successors, students and directors, made a substantial contribution to shape the laboratory to its present form. At the present time, BLTP is one of the most known theoretical physics laboratories worldwide. It preserves and develops the best traditions of the fundamental physical science. It has the productive scientific environment and the capacity to raise the next generation of young scientists internationally and to the highest world-class level. The internationality does not only mean a broad and rich cooperation with scientists and leading scientific institutions globally. First and foremost, it means that our laboratory employs scientists from numerous world countries, including the countries members of GINER. The structure or scientific research in laboratory covers a wide spectrum of fundamental topics, which are divided into basic themes in the laboratory, in fundamental interactions, nuclear theory, modern mathematical physics, and theoretical of condensed matter. Of course, the research is carried out by our scientists, who are doctors of science, doctor of philosophy, our PhD students, and undergraduate students. The table shows basic numbers, but interesting fact is that from outside Russia we have approximately, as we see, approximately 15% of a doctor of science and approximately 40% doctor of philosophy. We have some scientific production, scientific results, which are published in a prestigious journal and presented on the international conferences. And in table we see some statistics for last 5 years. What is important, in the recent years, BLTP managed to stabilize personnel. We are steadily attracting undergraduate and PhD students. We stopped the negative trends from the 19th, which resulted in the low number of scientists in the age of 35 to 55. Financially, first and foremost, this means a significant rise of nominal salaries, personal grants and bonuses for young physicists, of course in close cooperation with Central Directorate. Materially, we have initiated and are successfully carrying out the complete reconstruction of the building. We are establishing we are continuing intensive international relations, especially with countries members of GINER, by means of joint scientific programs, joint grants, scientific schools and vocational training. Structurally and organizationally, we have restructured the laboratory into 16 sectors and formed 4 departments. These departments include sectors with enhanced research fitting into the scope of already well-defined topics. We created the system for estimation of the scientific achievements of each employed scientist over his previous 3 years of work. This means that apart from early achievements, the dynamics of the achievements are also monitored. In my opinion, the main responsibilities and goals of new director are to preserve the financial, material, personal, international and organizational stability of BLTP, to continuously eliminate flaws based on the ongoing experience, to increase productivity by improving the system of evaluation of scientific achievements, to upgrade the collaboration between our theoreticians and experimentalists from other laboratories. The work is already being done in this direction, and there is still a lot to be improved. And an important example, which I would like to mention, is the contribution of the theoreticians to the reach in the floor of laboratory of nuclear reactions, especially to the theoretical justification of the existence of island of stability of super heavy elements, and the theoretical calculation of excitation functions for productions of different isotopes of super heavy elements. Of course, we plan to continue this very fruitful collaboration. Another and relatively new collaboration is realized by our theoretical group headed by Professor Fedor Shimkovits, who has very close collaboration contacts with colleagues from LIAP, and commonly are participating on NEMO, Super NEMO, and Baikal experiment in the neutrino program. Of course, I would like to mention collaboration with laboratory information technology. Traditionally, we keep very close collaboration, very close relation with colleagues from the laboratory, because we are needed with their skills, computers, IT technologies, which are crucial for our theoretical works in the present time. Also, a positive example is the participation of the theoreticians in one of the main experimental direction, the NICA accelerator complex. An international group of specialists was already formed not only of physicists working in high energy and nuclear physics, but also in the field of hydrodynamics, non-equilibrium statistical physics, and the theory of classical and quantum phase transitions. They are currently outlining a clear plan for the future research closely coupled to NICA. For us, it is of the highest priority and deserves our utmost attention. Apart from the salaries, stipends, and other forms of incentives, to attract young, perspective, and talented scientists, we must create favorable social conditions, housing, kindergartens, leisure, and sport centers. Of course, again, with close cooperation with central directorate. We must minimize administrative and bureaucratic procedures. I am deeply convinced that they do not result in qualitative and quantitative improvement of scientific results. In fact, it is rather the opposite, as our experience has taught us. I think that in the future, all necessary efforts must be made to fully utilize and reinforce the current potential and possibilities of BLTP, so that the Bogoliubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics will become strong and attractive center for talented youth, where the young scientists will find good conditions for life and professional growth, where they will attain great achievements and discoveries of the global magnitude. I consider the factual interest of young people in long-term position at the laboratory, not only from Russia, but also from the other countries, members of GINRS, moreover, and other additional countries, as one of the most important indicators or tests of success of the efforts of its new directorate. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mihal. We have now questions to the candidate. Anybody wants to ask for more details? Can't see any. Thank you then. And we have now the second candidate, Dmitry Kazakov, who will also give a 10-minute presentation of what his plans are.
Well, thanks to this previous speaker, actually the laboratory is already introduced to you, but I'm sure you know it anyway. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the Council, our life is changing, and sometimes quite rapidly, and I'm afraid not always in favor of fundamental physics. So we have to react to all these challenges of time. What we do all these years, we actually join all our efforts to run this institute like a truly international body, like the institute which is the leading institute in nuclear and particle physics in Russia and the other member states of the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. This institute has its own experimental facilities. It participates in the leading international collaborations. It fulfills its educational task, and it has adequate management. Laboratory of Theoretical Physics. It is supposed to be the brain of this institute. We have enough facilities to fulfill this demand. You've been presented with our possibilities. We have a well-trained staff of more than 200 people, which is quite big theoretical institute. We run research in most interesting scientific areas in nuclear and particle physics. That was presented here in details, no need to repeat it again. We publish more than 350 papers per year in leading international journals, which tells you of our potential. One of our achievements is the training of young personnel. One of our achievements is actually the creation by our former director, Professor Filipov, of the Dubna International School of Advanced School of Theoretical Physics, the school which is running for many years, supervised by Professor Filipov, and is running more than two schools on theoretical physics per year here in Joint Institute and outside. We're also running more than 10 international conferences every year on different topics inside Dubna and outside as well, and participate in more than 500 international conferences. So that tells you about the possibilities of this laboratory. Still, we have problems, and let me concentrate on the problems which we have. Not surprising, our first problem is the aging of the personnel. The regulations do not allow us to fire people above certain age without their wish. And people do not wish to retire because the pension is much lower than their salaries. Moreover, we cannot fire practically those who have already slowed down their activity without problems. The second problem which I will mention is some inertia. For long years, people used to the situation when they can solve the same problems for decades, not stimulated by international competition, no need to find or keep the position, or need to present their visibility, the visibility of their research. And the last problem which I would like to mention, and I think this is maybe the most important one, is that I think that we have a lack of noticeable number of bright individuals. People are aging, some passed away, some left abroad, some left science. I'm afraid we did not succeed in finding an adequate substitution for these bright people, despite all our efforts. As I say, I think this is one of the major problems. So what we do to solve these problems, and what can we do further? We have to proceed and proceed gradually. If you cannot change the situation radically, you have to improve it by recruiting new people. The recruitment of new people must be done with maximal strictness. Better to take less people, but strong people. We do not have to increase our personnel, it's big enough, but better we have decreased it in favor of quality and actual topics of research. We have to double our efforts in finding new brains. Let me remind you once again that we have a big teaching program, and we teach here in the Joint Institute, and we teach in the universities around Russia and member state countries. So this is our effort to attract new talents, and this has to be continued and doubled. To increase the activity and the visibility of truly actual topics and make the laboratory active, to attract to laboratory active young people from the member states, we have to stimulate some activities. Good example is the creation of a new group in the department which I'm ahead of. The new group specialized on hadronic matter at extreme conditions to meet the demand of the NICA project. This group is seen as the theoretical nucleus of the Institute project dedicated to physics of heavy ion colliders. We also created the new neutrino physics group to meet the demands of the increasing neutrino program of the Laboratory of Nuclear Problems. We can follow this example in the other fields as well. Joint Institute has a possibility, which is unique for Russia, to employ temporarily or partially people from outside. We can actually attract some strong people on this basis. We should think of using this opportunity. They will bring us fresh view on our own life and new ideas of research. This is briefly my view on the development of the laboratory of theoretical physics. Now a few words about myself. My main research field is quantum field theory and particle physics. In recent years, mostly various aspects of supersymmetry. I work at Bogolyubov laboratory for 40 years. I occupied all positions from bottom to top up to the deputy director. In recent 15 years, I am the head of particle physics division of BLTP. I also worked in many centers abroad, in particular as a Mercator professor in Germany, senior scientist at KK in Japan, also in France, in Britain, etc. I presented plenary talks at several major international conferences. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. I am now inviting questions to the speaker. Can't see any. So, okay, thank you very much, Professor Kazakov. And what do we do now? Now we go to the election. And I think I need your cooperation to that. We'll now... are you to run it, I suppose?
Yeah,
so I you take the floor and arrange for the election, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we distribute the vote, and then we get after the 10 minutes, for a few minutes, okay?
We now ask for the ballots to be distributed. Okay, let me explain. Put a cross over the candidate you want. Okay? So in the ballot you have two squares. You put a cross over the square of the candidate you want to be director. Okay? Is that clear?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be a cross or a sign. Anyway, you don't need to cross out. You just put a cross over the candidate you want elected. Okay, we now have the results of the election, so would you please now present them to the committee, okay, to the council?
So we have 45 allowed people to vote, 33 are present, for Natin 16 vote, for Kazakov 16 vote, one white. So we have to repeat the ballot. 16 and 16.
Okay, so I would say that before we have two directors, I will ask the director what to do. Okay, so I'll be asking now Professor Matveev to tell us what the directorate will do with this.
Dear colleagues, it is the first time. I think maybe it is nothing strange. In fact, it is great that we have competition. We have two good candidates. It's no strange that because everybody looked eligible. So I think now There was some thought about maybe to have discussions about the candidates, but because one on the list of candidates, there are two names of persons who nominated. Станислав Дубничка and myself, but because Станислав is absent, so it would be not maybe fair to discuss because one part of absent. So I think, in fact, both candidates are very good. So, but formally, probably we have nothing to do but just to shift it to the next meeting and in September, maybe, or to organize discussions with participation of all members of all Central Council.
To announce new election on 123 session.
So formally I advised maybe we have to announce that this election has not any result, and so we have announced once again that election will be the next, not
after next.
After next. There is no any rules, so we may just shift for the next session, let's say, in September elections. But and so for that only has a sense if we will somehow, maybe not formally, but we have still think about candidates or maybe discuss candidates. I don't know. Maybe there are some other suggestions. Please.
I agree. I follow what you said, Director, so I don't have any problem with that. I just suggest that next time, maybe I have to suggest that many times before, but okay, too late. Next time, after the presentation of the candidate, they can get out and we have a discussion before the vote. It looks something we could be useful. Okay, just a suggestion.
I would suggest that maybe this we put this somewhere in the rules. Because that's the way it should be done, actually. That is, we have presentations, then we have the candidates out, we have a closed discussion, and then we, by consensus, decide. And then if we need a formal election, we could. But we could then actually have a decision, even without a formal election. Michel?
Yeah, we could have now the discussion without the candidates. And see whether we could proceed again to an election.
Are you suggesting that we do it now?
Yeah.
What do you think about that idea? Okay. I see that there's voices against. So I would refrain. I would stick with the decision of Victor to postpone the decision to the next council. Okay. Okay. Please.
Sorry, I just have a formal question. Is this an election or is it a recommendation? It's a real election. So the Directorate of General has just to follow our.
Yes. I understand your question. The question is our vote binding to the Directorate? And it appears it is, yes? Yeah, it is. Any other suggestions? Yeah, please.
May I have a more pragmatic approach? We have an odd number of votes. So it's enough that we retake the voting, and if the guy who put a blank ballot makes up his mind, then the solution is solved.
I wouldn't go for that.
It's not important.
I wouldn't go for that. As of now, the decision is that we postpone the vote to the next session, and after the presentations, have an informal discussion with the candidates out of the room. Is that agreeable to everybody? Any other comments? Okay, well, we got that settled then. Okay, thank you.
Make a citation from rules, yeah? I think we just need it. In the event of non-election of laboratory director, what we have now, or deputy director, what we haven't. The Scientific Council determines the date for new election. It is not actually not new voting procedure, it is new election, where new candidates, for example, may appear.
Well, a new election could be...
It's written that the Scientific Council determines the date for new election. It could be also tomorrow, formally.
No.
I don't know.
First of all, there's 2 points. One is that there may be new candidates with a new election procedure, right? And the second is that we can set up an election either in 15 minutes or tomorrow, and then have the informal discussion and get it resolved. That's an option. Yeah.
So if it is feasible to have a discussion followed by an election, I am for. Okay, why not? If it is feasible, yes.
This is what I said just a minute ago. If we can have a discussion now or tomorrow morning, then we proceed to another election, because we'll have more information.
I would then suggest that we make a decision now about deciding on the next election, whether it would be in 15 minutes or tomorrow, depending on how we want it. And have... No? Okay. So, as of now, the decision is that we do it at the next council. Okay? So, I would suggest that we stop at that. We have to continue with our program. And that we accept this as a council. Okay?
Okay.
Madam. Thank you. And now we are... over to presenting the recommendations of the Program Advisory Committee, and we start with the particle physics.
Maybe we have to vote for that suggestion.
I would request then: does anybody want a vote where we don't show hands? That is, we have to vote in a ballot for the decision I just suggested. That the decision is that we move the election to the next council. Is there anybody who is against that decision? There is one. Okay, who is there? I can't see it, but anyway, there's one who's against. Okay. Okay. Now, because you're against, would you accept a majority decision in this case?
I always accept a majority decision.
Please use the microphone.
I always accept a democratic decision with a majority.
Okay. Well, then I then declare that we have made a decision, and that the decision is next council election, but preceded by this informal discussion that was suggested by Professor Spiro. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. So now we continue. And now is the pack on particle physics presented by Professor Tseria, and I ask you to give your report now.
Mr. Chairman, dear colleagues and guests, it's my pleasure to present you the report from the Program Advisory Committee on Particle Physics. The last meeting took place in January 2016 and 2017. That was the number 46 meeting of the PAC-PP. And I will concentrate this report on the highlights of that meeting. And we'll discuss in particular the reports that we heard on NICA, MPD, and BMATN, The report on the 2016 nucleotron runs and the reports from ALICE, ATLAS and CMS, and also briefly present the new projects that were presented for approval to the committee. So, starting with the NICA project, there is steady progress in all fronts of NICA, and I will give you a flavor of the progress on the, on different fronts. The milestones here are the successful commissioning of the linear accelerator, the HILAC for heavy ions, and the preparations for the construction of the booster and the BMA-10 beamline. On this picture, you can see the work that is required to provide the beamline from the nucleotron to the BMA-10. It's around 160 meters of a beamline, which contain 26 elements of magnetic optics. I will extensively talk about the two runs of the nucleotron, number 52 and 53, that were really quite successful and are putting now the nucleotron on a frame of really producing beams for physics. So the HILAC commissioning, the milestone was in October 2016. The carbon beam was accelerated up to the design energy, and you can see here a picture of the HILAC. The plans, as far as the construction of the accelerators are concerned, are outlined here. For 2017, we have preparations for the booster, and actually at the end of this year, the BMA-10 experiment is expected to start doing physics. There will be two runs again in 2017, one in February-March and the other in November-December. The first one will deal with light ions, the second one with heavier ions. And 2018 is the year where the booster will be assembled and commissioning. Now, on the use of beam delivered by the nucleotron, the great news is that the nucleotron finally produced a polarized deuteron beam that was used for physics in the RAN 53, and this was the first time that this was achieved, and delivered beams with an intensity of 7 to the 8 ions and the polarization up to 60%. This run was a record of a duration of 1,400 hours of really a stable operation. Now let me say a few more words about those two runs, RAN 52 and RAN 53. So RAN 52 was about a year, was in June, July last year. The run had to stop about a week earlier before because of some unexpected problem with the machine. You can see here the numbers. 768 hours were requested, were allocated 456, but delivered only 120, and this was mainly due because of this problem mentioned here. However, the two goals, the two main goals of this run, namely the production of a polarized deuteron beam and the demonstration that it can be used in stable conditions, those two were achieved. The detector R&D, in particular for the BMA-10, that was planned at the very end of this period, was unfortunately could not be done because of the stopping of the machine. But those two were done, and actually it was used with the new injection system that include the source for polarized ion, the RFQ, and the accelerator LU20, all injected into the nucleotron. The numbers for RAN 53 are more spectacular. The duration was about 2 months, but it produces about 400 hours of beam. 78% of this was delivered for users and machine development, and the users received about 90% or more of what they planned. And as I mentioned before, the polarized deuteron beam with intensity up to 7 × 10⁸ and polarization up to 60% was produced. Here you can see the graph of the intensity of the beam during all this period. That was the polarized beam, and you can see that the beam was rather stable with intensities varying by almost about a factor of 2, with an average of 5 × 10⁸ particles per second. And this was actually used by 2 experiments, and I think that they were very happy, and I think that this is the first time where they can really do some physics out of these runs. So the nucleotron is starting to deliver useful beams for research. Now, concerning infrastructure, there is a lot of work going on around the NICA project, a lot of work concerning the modernization and upgrading of the electrical system and the heating facilities. And there is also progress in the civil construction work for the collider. You have seen this picture several times already today, so I show it again. It already shows you that something is taking shape here that resembles what the collider is supposed to be. Also concerning infrastructure, the assembly and testing facility for the superconducting magnet was officially launched in November. So this is the ceremony. You also saw this picture already this morning. You can see also the scope of this facility. It has to produce a total of 429 magnets for the booster, for the NICA collider, and for the FAIR facility. About 40% of those are for FAIR, so this is a very impressive facility that is already working. I mean, the launching occurred a few months after the serial production already had started. There is another thing that is of interest. There will be a huge, big building that will be called the NICA Center, that will be a center for users and for all the things around the facility. This thing is at the present stage in the study from the architectural point of view, and here you can see 2 of such proposals that are under discussions, but I saw some other pictures, so I think that that will be a very nice building, and it will be located very close to the entrance to the laboratory, to the second laboratory. Now let me turn to the experiments. First, the MPD. The main issue for the MPD remains the approval of the technical design report so that they can get green light to proceed for the construction of the various subsystems. Some positive development is that the MPD management managed to attract some outside collaborators. There have been interesting contacts with groups from Tsinghua and Hefei from China, from Mexico and from Azerbaijan. This is good because I think that the main problem for the MPD remains manpower and groups that are dedicated to the construction of this detector. The PAC encourages the MPD management to continue in this direction. There was also a meeting of the DAC, the Detector Advisory Committee for the MPD, that took place in January 17, and again the TAC concentrated in a detailed study of the TDRs. We have 5 TDRs on the table for the 5 subsystems that will be operational at day one, and so far one of the main outcomes is that the TOF is very almost done with the TDR and will get the green light pretty soon. The others are well advanced, as I will show you in a minute. The magnet, you saw also pictures this morning. The magnet is the big element for the MPD. All goes around the magnet, and the construction is going on in Italy. The TPC is the main detector. The TDR is well advanced, but not yet done. And you can see the various tasks associated with the TPC, the tooling, the readout chambers and the pad planes, front-end electronics, service systems like gas and cooling, TPC integration and the clean room for the assembly of the detector. All those are making very, very good progress. The TOF, as I mentioned, is nearly ready to mass production. Actually, the materials for the assembling of 50 multi-resistive plate chambers is already in-house, and the rest of the materials will be purchased this year. So the production rate is expected to be one detector per day, and it will take about 14 months to complete the entire TOF system. The FFD, the forward fast detector, this is the detector that provides the T0 and also the centrality, the trigger for the MPD. It's also in quite good shape. Some tests that were done at the test run in the nucleotron run of number 53 demonstrate excellent performance of the detector with a time resolution of the order of 45 picoseconds. Now the BMA-10. The BMA-10 unfortunately could not make use of run 52 and had only a fruitful run at the end of the year, run 53, and they were able to test all the subsystems of the BMA-10, not with full coverage, but all subsystems were in and could be tested in the beam. The PAC is concerned about the half a year delay that has resulted on the BMA-10, and this is due to the low availability of beam tests and also to the lengthy procedures for tendering processes. So this delay, I think, goes somewhat in the contingency that this project had and will probably not influence the goal of having the detector ready for physics at the end of 2017. Here you can see the setup that was used in December 2016. Actually, most detectors showed very good performance. Some data were taken on with the deuterium beam on a variety of targets, carbon, copper, and lead. Cannot show results because this was done, the run ended in December, and by the time the PAC had a meeting, we didn't hear any real results of in-depth analysis of the data. But people were very satisfied with the performance of the detector, at least online. Now, concerning a proposal that was submitted to the PAC, a proposal submitted for continuation is COMET at Jay Park. This is an experiment that aims at searching muon to electron conversion. The GINR participated in the construction of the detector, contributed the straw tubes. We approved the continuation of this project for 3 years till the end of 2019, and we encourage the team to take active roles in the physics analysis and not to restrict itself to the technical contributions. Concerning new project, there was one participation in the NA64 experiment. This is an experiment that aims at looking at very rare events. Again, here the GINR is supposed to deliver and operate straw tube for as tracking, and the PAC also approved this project for 3 years till the end of 2019. Now, there were two proposals that were brought to the PAC, both concerning the COMPASS experiment. One was presented, was called COMPASS 2, presented by Nagatsev, and the other was Hadron Physics in the COMPASS experiment, Status and Proposal on Organizational Matter, presented by Guskov. The PAC appreciates the important role that GINR played in COMPASS up to now, and this involved a variety of tasks like data taking, detector maintenance, as well as physics analysis. So there is no doubt that this is an important experiment and an important contribution by GINR. However, the PAC was considered unjustified to have two different groups participating in the same experiment. So we didn't approve any of those. We instead recommended that the two GINR groups resubmit one single proposal not later than the next PAC meeting, outlining the GINR strategy and goals for the next 3 years of the COMPASS 2 experiment, providing a good justification for all the resources that are requested. In the meantime, we requested the laboratory directors to provide to the groups the minimal support that will allow them to continue fulfilling their obligations in COMPASS. Now, we heard a report from the groups participating in the three big LHC experiments. Those reports were limited to showing some analysis that the local groups are doing. So we heard from ATLAS the studies of HBT of endoscopy correlations of kaon pairs and the results obtained during the testing of the electromagnetic calorimeter FOBs. Concerning ATLAS, we heard the search on pentaquartz lambda B decays and CMS the study of muon pair production. We also heard two talks, one on the GINR neutrino program concentrated on Dia Bay and Juno, precision measurements with reactor neutrinos presented by M. Gonchar, and electromagnetic and gravitational effects for spin dynamics in accelerators presented by A. Silenko. The PAC was impressed by those two presentations. Young scientists, we are very pleased to see 26 posters presented by young people from different labs at the last meeting. So this is an unusual large number, and that was rewarding to see the large number and the high quality of the posters that were presented. So the PAC selected two of them. One is a multimedia exhibition that showcases the main facilities at GINR. This exhibition, multimedia exhibition, will be, I think, downstairs already by the coffee break today, if not tomorrow. And the other is a poster on charmonion-like states at COMPASS that was presented by A. Gridin, and this will be reported to this council meeting tomorrow. We have agreed to meet on June 26 and 27 with a usual menu of topics to be discussed. And with this, I thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments to that presentation? Yeah, Michel.
Thank you for the presentation. I just noted one sentence which attracted my attention. The PAC is concerned for the BMA-ATEN detector. You mentioned, because of the problem of the... you mentioned the PAC is concerned by the half-a-year delay in the project realization, BMA-ATEN, that resulted from the low availability of a beam test and the lengthy internal tendering procedures. Should we expect to have that also for MPD? And I mean, this could be a problem which will stay with us and will which will be which will
induce delays which are not affordable, I think, for Dika.
Yeah, in principle, those two issues are also relevant for the MPD. However, the MPD works on a longer time scale, and we didn't hear or we didn't notice any real impact so far from those two issues on the MPD. You remember that the BM-ATTAIN came to the scene much later. Something that was not foreseen from day one, came much later, and therefore any obstacle on the way is more serious. But in principle, the tendering procedures are the same for BM-ATTAIN and MPD. For the whole lab, I don't think that this is unique to BM-ATTAIN.
Any other comments? Go ahead, please.
Maybe could you please elaborate on the concern you expressed about the group at JPARC?
By the what?
If you show the slide about JPARC again. You made a comment there.
JPARC? Yeah. NA60, comet? What is the question?
About, there is encourages the team to take active roles. Do you mean that they can and they don't, or what do you mean there?
No, up to now, this is a project that is for continuation, okay? So they have been working already in COMET for 3 years. They have concentrated their participation on the hardware components. So they contributed to the detector, they maintained the detector, so we are encouraging them to take active part on the physics of COMET.
Okay, any other questions? Please.
Thank you for this presentation. I noticed that there were very, very successful run of neutrons, both for the polarized source and the new LINAC. I noticed also that the intensity looks a little small to my eyes.
The what?
The intensity, 10 to the 8, right?
Yes, for the neutrons.
And I noticed this morning by looking at the first result, beautiful result, large error bar. So, of course, because of intensity. So is there any intrinsic limitation or is it just a normal step in commissioning?
I would say that this is normal step of the commissioning.
Okay.
Actually, I discussed the other day with one of the French collaborators in the ALPOM experiments, and they were very, very pleased by the beam.
Okay. So what did you expect as a final intensity? I mean, what do you expect?
I don't know what the final intensity will be. Maybe someone can comment.
10 to the 9.
10 to the 9.
10 to the 9.
10 to the 9. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, any other questions?
Let me to make just a remark about this event, delay in baryonic matter at Nucleotron project, which was shown that there is a half-year delay because of lengthy delay of tendering process. You see, it was an unpleasant but special case where there was some loss of confidence between few parties, let's say laboratory, people who are engaged there, Central Tendering Commission, etc. It was unpleasant, but it's not, it's common fault. It's not anyhow connected with the lengthy process in general of this tendering process. It goes for many things, so because there was just fixing one unpleasant effect, which is in fact fault of many people maybe, yeah? But it became like a law, that's a rule, so of course it's not.
Okay.
Any further questions?
Yeah.
Please.
Please excuse my innocence, Itzhak. When will we have a fat, big guy hitting another fat, big guy with 4GeV?
When we will have what?
A fat, big guy like me hitting another heavy ion with 4GeV per nucleon.
I don't understand the question. What?
When will you have beam on target with the heavy iron, with the deuteron?
Okay.
No, I'm not finished yet.
Yes, okay.
And is this detector really enough to the challenge by the highest beam intensity? Is it fast enough, or will it not need any high intensity? I haven't followed the detector at all, so...
Well, I think
we have central collisions of gold at 5 GeV. You have thousands of particles coming out, and this is extremely simple setup. So you could be fast enough even with 10 to the 10. That was more or less my question. When would that be, and would you exhaust the limits of the detector with the beam intensity?
Yeah. Well, first of all, there is the second run this year will be already with the cryon source, and we'll have the gold beam. For the gold beam, we need the booster, and the booster will be ready only in end of 2018. So, but there will be beams of krypton and argon available at the end of this year. To get a gold beam, you will have to wait for the booster. Now, concerning the intensities, the MPD is planned to sustain an interaction rate of the order of 5 to 10 kilohertz, and that will be exhausting the full luminosity of the machine. I think that the beams of gold will be of the order of few times 10 to the 9, if I am not mistaken.
This part I know. I was referring to the BMN.
Okay, BMN.
It's a fast detector in principle, so it could...
It's a star detector, and it can sustain any... It will have a much higher intensity than what has been done right now. Yeah, yeah.
50 kilohertz, it's in 2019. It would be available to accept by BMN10. 50, it's a top.
Any further comments? Okay, thank you very much then, Professor. So, now we're moving to the second pack for nuclear physics to be presented by Professor Pikemal. Oh, and I'm Marek Levitovich, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, but I had in my program, I didn't have you. Okay, Marek, it's all yours now.
I apologize for the change. So I have a privilege and a great pleasure to present the recommendations coming out from the program, the Advisory Committee for Nuclear Physics on the last meeting. Before that, I would like to make two comments. One, on this, that with extreme sadness, the committee and expressed condolence on the passing away of the professor Walter Greiner, an outstanding nuclear theorist and chairperson for the PAC for nuclear physics since 2007. And the second remark is that I would like to express warm thanks on behalf of the committee and myself to Fabrice Pikemal for chairing the PAC meetings from June 2015 to January 2017. Now going to the more scientific part. So this is the agenda of the committee which we had. And I will stop, of course, and put the recommendations on different scientific topics which are mentioned here in green. So let me go to this more detailed recommendations immediately. So we had the presentation on the support for the young scientists at the GNR. The PAC heard the report on the support for the young scientists presented by Bratislav Hudoba. The PAC notes the importance of the work for attracting the training young scientists at the Institute and strongly supports the policy of the GNR directorate in this direction, with the more specific recommendation. The PAC recommends that the GNR directorate extends the training PhD program for all the member states and associated member states. And also, the PAC recommends that the postdoctoral fellowship program be implemented at GNR in order to address the growth of early career researchers. We had a very nice presentation on the evolution of the staff at this occasion. The second topic was related to the physics of light mesons. In accordance with the recommendation of the last session on the evaluation of further research on the physics of light mesons, the PAC had the report, more detailed report on the term physics of light mesons by Anatoly Kulikov. So the topics, as you already have seen today, are related to the spin physics, rare processes, interaction dynamics, and this part of the program concerned the project GDH and SparkCharm, Spring, and Comet, which in the meantime was moved, as we just have seen, for the further evaluation to the PAC for particle physics. And also the four activities were evaluated, presented and evaluated, MacPen, Triton, Muon, and PENUC. So you see also the corresponding labs, and also you can notice from these dates which are presented here that some projects were transformed into activities, and they are mainly dealing with the data analysis. So the recommendations, the PAC recommends approval of the report on the term physics of light mesons, and particularly appreciates the significant results obtained in the terminated project Spring and the great success in the Triton experiments and Bank experiment. The PAC recommends extension of the term until the end of 2017 in order to complete all the studies and the activities within this team. The PAC looks forward to hearing final reports on the results obtained with MacPen, PENUC, and Triton experiments. The PAC recommends continuation of the Mu E-gamma search in the MAC2 project. The PAC recommends that the Jelepov Lab Directorate provide funding for the GDH, H, and SparkCharm project until the end of 2019 and present information about this at the next meeting of the PAC. Now the topic related to the factory, super heavy element factory. The PAC heard with the great interest the report by Sergei Dmitriev on the status of the construction of this super heavy element factory. The PAC appreciates the progress in the installation of the DC-280 cyclotron and its major technological systems. In accordance with the schedule, the accelerated commissioning will start in December this year. Implementation of such a tight schedule will require maximum concentration of financial and human resources of the Flerov Lab, and both we see the building and also the installation of the cyclotron are on the good track, as we have seen several times already today. So the most specific recommendation of the PAC is that the Flerov Lab Directorate takes all necessary measures to ensure the launch of the super heavy element factory as scheduled, and a more detailed presentation of the cyclotron ion source and some more specific and the most important components of the new factory, like ion sources, high power target and detection system developments for this facility, should be done at the next PAT meeting to look more on the detail how it's going on. The following topic was related to the 7-year plan for the development of the GNR for 2017-2023, and the PAC took note the report by Nikolai Rusakovich on the main directions on research plan at GNR in this period. And we have concentrated, of course, on the issues and topics related to the nuclear physics. So the major objectives in the 7-year plan include construction operation of the super heavy element factory, modernization of IREN facility, promotion of international cooperation in experiments carried out by GNR, in particular Baikal, Shell, Santa Colina 2, and contributions to non-accelerated physics experiments. Recommendations for this issued by PAC. So the PAC, of course, discussed this 7-year plan, and also in the us together with other PACs, of course, contributed to its elaboration. So this was approved, of course, and at previous scientific council session, and also at the Committee of Plenipotentiaries in November. And of course, the PAC wishes the directorate and staff of GNR success in the implementation of this ambitious plan. In the follow-up of this plan, it will be useful to present an evolution of the budget and human resources. I think this topic came in the discussion already several times today. So both in terms of the scientists and technical staff, as well as an updated schedule for nuclear physics projects and activities which are relevant to this PAC at the future meetings. We heard also scientific reports. The first one on the GNR neutrino program, Baikal neutrino experiment towards high energy neutrino astronomy, presented by Shaibonov. So this was related to Baikal GVD detector, which was described already several times today. I will not enter into details. It's maybe important notice that the PAC supports the effort of the GNR director to include the Baikal GVD experiment in the European Strategy on Research Infrastructures roadmap, and recommends close cooperation with KM3NET. The PAC heard with interest the report on the cluster approach to the structure of heavy nuclei presented by Timur Schneidman. A new original model was developed which takes into account both deformation and the cluster degree of freedom, and the use of the model allows to explain observed excitation, spectra, and angular momentum dependencies of the parity splitting and electromagnetic transitions probabilities for a number of radium, thorium, uranium, and plutonium isotopes. We had also the very nice poster session with the many interesting posters well explained by usually younger colleagues. Although the session was probably a little bit too short, so this is my personal request or demand to make the session a little bit longer to be able to really to appreciate and hear the explanations of all the young colleagues. And after this session, we made a selection of the best posters, and the winner was is fusion reactions with light neutron-rich nuclei, a pathway to synthesize new heavy nuclei, presented by Vladimir Rachkov. We also selected the posters on chemical investigation of superheavy elements, copernicium and fluorovium, kinetic studies of the mercury-selenium interaction using inverse thermochromatography, presented by Alexander Madumarov, and Shell's separator for heavy element spectroscopy, presented by Alena Kuznetsova. And the PAC recommended the first topic to be presented at this session of the Scientific Council tomorrow. We had also the visit of the Wechsler and Baldwin Laboratory of High Energy Physics, and we could appreciate the progress of the NICA project. And the last slide is related to the next meeting, which will take place in June 14-15 this year, with the tentative agenda, which will include, of course, reports and recommendations on attempts and projects to be completed in 2017, final reports on the scientific results obtained in the experiments MacPen, Painek, and Triton, report on the program of the superheavy LM factory, consideration of new projects, poster presentations, scientific reports, and visit of the Flerov Lab. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Marek. Now we have questions and comments. Any questions or comments? Michel, please.
Thank you, Marek. I have just one question. I forgot experiments around the Kalinin reactor, so magnetic moment of the neutrinos, steroid neutrinos, reactor anomaly. This belongs to your pack or it belongs to another pack? I forgot.
I'm quite new in the pack. We didn't discuss this at the last meeting. I need help to answer. Belongs to this to nuclear physics?
Yes. Non-accelerated neutrino physics belongs to this pack, and we discussed all project on previous session of PACs.
Okay.
Baikal and Kalinin Atomic Power Station Laboratory also discussed.
Thank you.
So also, as in some other countries, the neutrinos are separated to different PACs.
Any further comments, questions? Okay. Thank you very much again. For the third pack, we have Professor Oleg Bielov, who is the scientific secretary of PAC for condensed matter physics, and it's condensed matter physics we're going to talk now.
Okay. Dear Mr. Chairman, dear members of the Scientific Council, let me briefly inform you about the results of the 45th meeting of the Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics that were held on 19th and 20th January. There is a full agenda of items that we discussed. Actually, I would not look to expect you to look through all the details that we discussed. There is just highlights of our meeting. First one is a discussion on the development of a new concept for a GNR neutron source beyond the year 2032, when the current reactor will be stopped. I would remind that we started this discussion in previous meeting of our PEC, and now we requested a more broad information about this topic. Second topic was information about recent achievements, scientific and technical ones, with the IBR2 and its instruments. It's some kind of review of 2016. And third one is a traditional topic of our meeting reports on themes and projects. And that's actually where I'll be spending most of my report. So let me start with the first point. As I said before, that we requested a more detailed information about the concept for GNR's new neutron source. And we had a very interesting report presented by Viktor Lazarevich Aksyonov, a 15-year forward look at neutron facilities at GNR with some kind of scientific rational for an idea to develop some kind of source in future at GNR. The most important topics of this report are presented on the slide. That were some information about what can be the research program with new facility, an important piece of information about the current situation with the world neutron landscape, today's situation and future, let's say, forecast for the years beyond 2032, and some preliminary, I would stress, very preliminary concept of a future facility, of the design of future facility, how it can look like. Actually, this report demonstrated that the scientific program with the new facility can be indeed quite rich. We had a number of slides and very good topics illustrating the topics mentioned on the slide. What actually can be done with new facility with relatively high flux of neutrons. You may see that all these directions actually addressed three major fields of activity of our institute. Primarily, this is the condensed matter physics and some structural studies of solid matter, soft matter, and up to studying some biological objects. Some issues also related to particle physics and nuclear physics mentioned on the slides. And even some kind of applications, for example, for medicine, biology, etc., etc. Another important information that was given in the report, this is a world neutron landscape. The present day situation, for example, 2015, focused on Europe. That was information about available European largest neutron centers was presented. And the next picture presented in this talk tell us that probably the number of neutron centers tends to decrease till the year of 2032. And this is some kind of possible scenario for neutron facilities to be available in Europe beyond the year 2032. And this is also was considered as a very important factor that can impact as a research program and new facility, as well as even the technical design of the facility to be developed in future. There's also information about the neutron facilities to be commissioned in the near future, and in particular on the reactor peak complex, that energy startup is expected in 2018, and the first 12 experiment stations are going to be implemented in 2019. And of course, one of the most important things, the current status of the European spallation source, which is also not so far from the commissioning, because the first neutrons, as was said in this presentation, are expected in 2019 and experiments in 2032. This is actually understandable that it can also influence much on the research program and the design of this new facility, and raise such kind of questions like competitiveness of the new facility with these sources and some complementarity between them. Nevertheless, we had information about two recent ideas on how this new facility can look like. Two ideas were presented. First one is to, let's say, to continue the ideology of pulse reactors and to have a new one with the neptunium core, which can provide some kind of benefits. For example, it is enabled to reduce the pulse of the neutrons that will enable to have a better resolution for the instruments to be surround this facility in future. And the next option is to have so-called cascade booster multiplier, or размножитель in Russia, based on the proton accelerator with not so high energy, more than 0.5 GeV. And to compensate this relatively low energy accelerator, it is planned to, for example, to combine this accelerator with the neutron generated target plus subcritical assembly combined in the way that is shown in at this slide. As for the variants for accelerator itself, there are two options were presented. It's also, I would stress, quite preliminary ideas. First option is to have to use the possibilities of nucleotron and booster to be implemented in future, because the beams provided by this combination of rings is actually satisfy this kind of design of the setup. And the second option is to have a new linear accelerator, and the group of authors is currently developing this idea as well. So, finally, the PEC mentioned the following thing concerning this information. First, the PEC finds it timely to consider the concept for a new facility at present days, because it takes a long time from the proposal for this facility up to construction and finally commissioning. So, and at the same time, the PEC mentioned very important points, such necessity of mobilizing of large scientific community for that, the issues of complementarity and competitiveness, as I said before, of this new facility with other ones to be available after the year 2032, as well as, of course, ideas on the instruments to be surround these new facility, and of course identifying the enough and relevant user community both at GNR and outside. Finally, the PC made the following recommendations on that. First is to, it was recommended to present at the next meeting in summer, to present a proposal on the development of such kind of concept to be considered in the, our next meeting. And second recommendation was to submit this this proposal also to the Committee for Long-Term Strategy Planning being currently established at the Joint Institute. So that is information about this first major topic of our agenda. So the next important point was a scientific and technological review of the IPR2 for the year 2016. The PC heard the report presented by Dr. Kozlenko about recent scientific results and the instrumentation developments with the instruments of this reactor. The PC appreciated much the increased number of publications, the new interest in scientific results, which were actually partially discussed today in the previous talks, the most important results of the previous years. So I would not say more about that. The PC also was pleased with the user program of Frank Laboratory. The slide was also shown today. We see the number of proposals increase year by year. That is quite positive dynamics, and the number of visitors also increased, starting from about 60 in 2014 up to 100 now. There is directions of scientific directions of address to the user program. As we may see, material science and physics again on the top, but last year we had some equal, let's say, percentage between of material science and physics among other proposals. An interesting statistics on the articles per instrument was also presented. We may see that the situation a little bit changed with these two facilities. And now we had a large scientific outcome also from high-resolution Fourier diffractometer that was not like before, together with UMO spectrometer. This is a leading facility that is requested by users. And, of course, the PC supported the further development of this user program in future. Recommendations on temps and projects. We considered several proposals, reports and proposals on concluding terms of new projects. First one was submitted by Laboratory of Information and Technologies, and that was a concluding term focused on advanced research in the field of computational mathematics and computational physics with using of the most powerful computation facilities, primarily Hyperlit heterogeneous cluster, which scheme is presented on the slide with the measure parameters. The PC especially noticed the recent achievements for in the field of condensed matter physics. For example, development of automation of online data storage for the modernized UMO spectrometer. As we saw before, this is one of the highly requested instruments by the users. Also some computations for the starting process of the IBR2 reactor, as well as development of special packages and tools for analysis of large Newton diffraction data obtained, for example, in different instruments, for example, at high-resolution Fourier diffractometer, an instance is presented at the bottom of this slide. Finally, the PC suggested to approve the results and the topics submitted by this laboratory for future implementation, and recommended to extend this term for the next 3 years. We also heard a progress report concerning the development of the GNR educational program. Some important results for the years for the last 3 years. The PC appreciated the efforts of University Center in development of different educational programs and in particular statistics of attending of young scientists to participate in different educational programs and trainings, as well as connections with the elementary schools and elementary school teachers. It was also highly appreciated by Program Advisory Committee. In connection with this, we heard the report on the concluding project development of a modern educational program, and the PEC appreciated much two bright results of the past years, focused mainly on the development of multimedia interactive models of basic GNR facilities and some virtual laboratories for such kind of pre-training of young people before work, before starting work with the real facilities. Instead of this project, it was suggested to open a new one with the title mentioned on the slide. The PEC approved the project goals that is focused mainly on attending new talented scientists to the GNR, as well as for example, rising the visibility of GNR and some of the largest projects of GNR, like NICA, for example, for a wider audience. And finally, the PEC recommended to close the previous project and open this new one with a little bit reformulated title, as I mentioned on this slide. Traditionally, we had a number of reports about scientific meetings, schools, and training courses. We had four reports in January meeting, like on the, some events like International Workshop on Biophysics and Materials at NICA that announced for the first time a possibility of performing such kind of applied studies at NICA. Two very nice conferences conducted by Frank Laboratory Conference on Small Angle Scattering and Scientific School for Instruments and Methods in Experimental Nuclear Physics. And finally, an interesting report about development of student training course in advanced material studies with the use of neutron scattering methods. We also had three scientific reports presented by Drs. Zemlyanaya, Grimichkin, and Timoshenko addressing the topics of condensed matter physics and related fields. Traditionally, we had a poster presentation. We had 16 posters at the meeting, and usually we selected one best one. Tomorrow you'll be able to hear this report entitled Simulation of Radiation Damage to Different Neuron Structures, the Gene4 DNA Toolkit. And we also selected two high-quality posters, as usually presented by Alinchak and Matveev. And as usual, these winners will receive diplomas in the next PEC meeting. So I just come to the last slide of my presentation. This is a full agenda of items for the next meeting, which we decided to hold on 19th and 20th of June 2017. And we have a usual agenda with probably an emphasis on information on a concept of new neutron source for future and consideration of new themes, concluding themes and projects and consideration of new ones. So with this, I would like to finish my presentation and thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Oleg. Again, comments, questions, please.
I think it would be a reasonably cost-effective proposal to put a nucleotron beam on a solid-state target and just destroy the target. But when you want to have beam lines, it becomes quickly pretty expensive, and all the radiation protection, my belly guess, $100 million, $200 million, something like this. But now you start talking about a new LINAC, which is like LAMF, like JPARC, like a lot of things which are easily in the billion ESS euro range without even having instrumentation. You say you will discuss this in the next meeting, but I'm a little bit nervous because my neighbor, Michel, always, and I also for many years, we have said, don't you be worried a little bit about overstretching your personnel and financial resources. I mean, with a new accelerator on top, this would be five times bigger than NICA.
Yep.
You really will expect to have enough customers if with ESS to the left and JPARC to the right?
Actually, I would stress again that all these issues are going to be discussed when the concept will be presented, and this is just a very, very preliminary ideas about that, because this thing was officially announced just on previous our meeting in summer, and this is just preliminary information, and all these issues will be addressed to our program advisory committee on future meetings concerning money, concerning different concepts, because I presented only two examples of that, and I know that there are actually more ideas about how this facility should look like, and it is very, very preliminary information. I would stress again that, of course, you are right, all these questions should be addressed to authors and will be addressed and considered step by step during the next meetings.
Any reply to that? No. Okay. Michel, please.
Just to follow up on Hans, I tend to agree with Hans that a 1 megawatt accelerator is very, very costly. But there is also, if I understood well, there is the idea of using a subcritical assembly, which acts like an amplifier,
right?
A pulsed amplifier.
At least it was presented
a pulsed amplifier,
to our
which may be a good idea, which has to be explored at least.
Thank you. Further, okay, please.
To add a little comment about it. Okay, so I think at GNR, and especially in a big international institute like this one, it's good to have new emerging ideas. And, to look at the future of neutron source is certainly something very nice. But, as you know probably, even at this emerging level, it is important to include from the beginning all potential partners, bottom-up, of Europe. If you don't do that, I think you will go toward a very difficult road. And also to take advantage of a truly well thought complementary aspect of what would be exist in Europe in 2025 or something like that. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
That's, I would mention again that the information about the world neutron landscape was presented at this report, because it's actually a very important issue impacting on the research program and the design of the future facility that should be discussed, how to integrate this new facility in the some kind of European programs, let's say. And of course, we need to have some connections and some approval for the partners of that. This is, you're right, absolutely.
Maybe
further comments. There's one there. Okay, go. Yeah, I can see you there.
Just a few words to answer of Oleg Bilov. We already established two working groups of experts, external experts of outside of GNR, in two directions: in nuclear physics and condensed matter physics. And we invited people from ESS team and people from ISIS. To work in there, and they agreed, and they already participated.
Yeah, thank you for that explanation. Any further comments? Nobody. Okay. So we are now membership. Now we got the membership of PACS, which is discussed by Professor.
Okay, it's very short presentation. First of all, the directorate proposed to appoint Marek Levitovich from GANIL, KN France, as chairperson of the Program Advisory Committee for Nuclear Physics for a term of 3 years. Next one, to appoint Richard Paul Wilton from European Spallation Source, Lund, Sweden, as a new member of Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics by a term of 3 years. And last one, to thank the outgoing member, Augusta Cicucci, for his successful work as member of Program Advisory Committee for Particle Physics of Program Advisory Committee. The Directorate asks Scientific Council to approve these proposals.
Well, does the council approve? Do I have any comments or questions on this? I see no hands.
So I take it that the Council has approved these proposals. Thank you very much, Misha. So this is done. Now I think we deserve our coffee, yeah? Okay, so we have our 20 minutes. We'll meet at 10 past 5 sharp. 10 past 5 p.m.